dinosaur. The very word evokes a nightmare both repulsive and mesmerizing. What is the enduring appeal of these great beasts who lived millions of years before man? Is it the ferocity of their life or the mystery of their death? Perhaps we are drawn to them by the safety of time. As a pundit once said of dinosaurs, they're big, they're mean, and they're dead. Years before we went to Jurassic Park, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle took us to the Lost World. Doyle, already internationally famous for creating Sherlock Holmes, was looking for a new kind of mystery. He found it high atop an isolated plateau deep in the Amazon jungle. Here in a tropical wilderness where time had stopped, he conceived of a phenomenon of nature that bewildered science, yet enthralled the imagination. The novel was written in 1912, but the story begins before the dawn of man. Come back now with Alien Voices, for as you'll hear in this live performance, Conan Doyle's prehistoric adventure is anything but elementary.
Extra! Extra! Read all about it! Daily Gazette scientific mission approaching deadly rapids! Extra! Extra! Read all about it!
Everybody, hold on!
Find the boulder!
Paddle with the current! Watch out for that tree!
It's a whirlpool!
Row from the other side!
I am!
Top it out! Go with the current!
I am!
Let it take you! Oh, look, it's working!
Look out ahead!
Below the surface!
We hit something!
Yes, it's just a glancing blow!
Head for there! Go ahead!
Stay
for
the airport side!
Let them push it off!
There you go!
Go with the current!
Mr. McArdle, it's the telegraph room. Malone's latest story has them in mortal danger.
What? Give me that. Hello, McArdle. They what? The rapids. Well, how many were hurt? Never mind that. Bring it up here, right away.
And Sir George Beaumont wants a word with you.
Oh, you made Sir George walk all the way up here.
I couldn't stop him, Mr. McArdle. He's a...
What are all these expenses, Angus?
Oh, Sir George, please come in.
See here, McArdle, if I wanted to feed Brazil, I'd have formed a charity.
It's Malone's next story, Sir George.
Not thrown away on some foolhardy scientific expedition up the Amazon.
It's our Malone, Sir George. His latest dispatch has just arrived.
More silly bird-watching reports.
Rapids and cannibals with drums and poison arrows and piranha fish and...
Monsters, man! You promised me monsters as big as our headlines.
Big rapids, big drums, and big cannibals with big poison arrows.
And big expenses. My big expenses. And what's this getting me? All my newspaper.
My respect. Sir George Beaumont and the Daily Gazette are being praised from Westminster to the West End. Why, I hear the Royal Geographic Society is talking about honoring you. Even the other newspapers are saying what a magnificent contribution you are making to science, funding the expedition that'll find the lost world.
I believe it when I read it, Angus. I don't know whether you're the best editor in the business or just the best talker. How'd you bewitch me into writing the checks for this wild goose chase?
Well, if you recall, Sir George, it all began when young Ned Malone decided he was tired of chasing fire engines.
Mr. McArdle, do you have a minute?
Come on in, Malone. What's on your mind?
I've filed my copy, sir. If I could
Well, that's good work, then. I can always count on you to be right on time.
But it was hardly what I call a difficult assignment. Couldn't you
a good newsman has to cover whatever happens.
A formal tea for the wife of the Prime Minister?
I'm sorry, laddie. They can't always be world beaters, you know.
Well, thank you, sir, but don't you think you could possibly send me on something interesting? A mission like Stanley and Livingston? Anything that has adventure and danger in it, and the more difficult, the better, sir.
You seem very anxious to lose your life.
It's to justify my life, sir.
Oh, let me take a guess. Is this about a girl?
Why should it be about a girl?
Because, as the French say, cherchez la femme. And what would her name be?
Gladys Hungerton.
Well, laddie, I don't know if I have any new worlds for you to discover, but I do have something of a mission for you. If you have the courage.
Well, that I have.
Have you heard of George Edward Challenger?
The famous zoologist?
None other. This fellow's caught my eye. part genius, part ogre, and perhaps all Munchausen.
But, sir, I mean, a simple personality interview?
Simple, hardly. Personality, quite. 2 years ago, Challenger went on an expedition to South America. Came back with stories, big stories. But when anybody asked him about it, he got touchy. And then they began making fun of him. Now he won't say a word. See what you can make of it.
Thank you, sir. It's not exactly what I had in mind, but I'll get right on it.
And by the way, he hates reporters.
Thanks for the tip.
Out into the gutter with you, beggar. Interloper. And next time your newspaper sends a reporter here, I'll shoot first.
I only wanted to talk to you, Professor.
No, you didn't, Mr. Blondell. You want to write about me, and you wish people to laugh. I shall have none of that, and neither shall you.
Well, they shall laugh at you regardless, Challenger. But I intend to report you to the constable. You attacked the press.
I did not attack the press, sir. I attacked a reporter. If you do not know the difference, then you have no right being one.
Good day, sir.
With you out of the house, it is a good day indeed.
Here. Let me help you out. Is that Professor Challenger's house?
It is. Are you going in there?
I was considering it.
Well, reconsider it. The man inside is a villain.
Clearly. Oh, my. Your sleeve is torn. Are you injured, sir?
Only my pride. But just a moment. Don't I know you?
I don't think so.
Yes, I do. You're Malone of the Gazette. I'm Blundell of the Times.
Oh, hello.
Well, go on in, then, if you like the sight of your own blood. I've covered factory riots that were more civil.
Well, I appreciate your advice.
Don't thank me. Be my witness. There's a police station around the corner. I'm having Challenger arrested. I shall return.
But it was nice meeting you, Mr. Blundell. George Edward Challenger. No solicitors or reporters.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to speak to Professor Challenger.
Are you expected, sir?
I have an appointment.
Your letter, please.
I beg your pardon.
If the professor had granted you an appointment, he would have sent you a letter to that effect.
Well, I'm afraid he didn't have time. You see, only today we happened to be discussing the Weissmann versus Darwin theories of evolution, and I had one or two questions about the professor's position. I mean, they're not questions, really. Just requests for clarification.
I see. What is your name, young man?
Edward Malone.
Won't you step in, Mr. Malone?
Thank you.
That is far enough. If you'll be so good as to take a seat in the hall, I'll present your card to Professor Challenger.
My card?
You do have a card, don't you?
Oh, why, of course I do. It's on my dresser at the dormitory. You see, I'm a graduate student in biology, and I haven't yet...
Did you enjoy a long conversation with the professor, Mr. Malone?
It wasn't long, no. But it was meaningful. I mean, that is to say, it was inspiring. So much so that here I am, as instructed.
I see. Well, just a moment, then. He'll see you now, Mr. Malone.
Thank you so much.
Since you know him so well, I shouldn't have to caution that if he turns violent, get quickly out of the room. Don't argue with him. There are those who have, and the stains are still on the carpet. I suppose you want to discuss South America.
You suppose correctly.
You recognize that is his most dangerous subject.
Oh, yes.
Pretend to believe him and you'll get through it. If he gets truly dangerous, ring the bell and try to hold him off until I come.
Well?
Professor Challenger, this is Edward Malone.
Thank you for the appointment, sir.
Well, that will be all, Orson.
Very good, sir.
Sir, you're the one who questions my stand on evolution.
I beg your pardon?
Because if you do, the problem is yours, not mine. I speak plain English, and my findings are quite well known.
Oh, entirely, sir, entirely.
Good. Your understanding gives me great comfort. Despite your age and appearance, you seem to be better informed than those swine in Vienna.
Oh, I quite agree. They behaved abominably.
You needn't be sycophantic. All right. Let's see how short we can make this. You had some comments about my theory?
Well, yes, sir. That is...
Come, lad. Out with it.
Well, I am, of course, a mere student, but weren't you a little severe with Weissmann? Hasn't the evidence since Vienna tended to strengthen his position?
What evidence?
Yes, Well, perhaps not definite evidence. I mean the trend toward modern thought.
I suppose you are aware that the cranial index is a constant factor.
Naturally.
And that telogeny is still sub judice.
Undoubtedly.
And that germ plasma is different from parthenogenic egg.
Why, surely.
And that proves...
Indeed.
Shall I tell you what that proves?
Pray do.
It proves that you are a rank imposter, a vile, crawling generous...
Oh, Professor, please.
Gibberish, man. That's what I've been talking to you. Scientific gibberish. Did you think you could match wits with me? Get out of my chair. Get out of my stomach. Get out of my house.
Now, look here, sir. You can be as abusive as you like, but there is a limit. You shall not assault me.
Shall I not? Oh, I've grown better than you into the street.
Sir, will you get your hands off me, sir?
And then I'll give you my boot.
Oh, I won't stand for this.
You won't stand for it, eh?
Don't be a fool, Professor. I play rugby.
Stand your right. Get out of my house. Down to the front steps and out with you. Austin! Austin!
You called, sir!
Austin, that's the police.
Oh, they're already here, sir. This is the constable.
Top of the morning to you, Professor.
Good morning, Constable Warren.
Well, I'm acting on a complaint filed by Mr. Blondell here of the Times. I couldn't help but notice that history seems to be repeating itself with this other gentleman.
Exactly, Constable Warren. I want you to arrest him. In fact, arrest both of them.
Well, that might be a bit sticky, sir, you see. I'm here to arrest you.
You what? What are you laughing at?
You! You infernal bully!
Tell it to the police. Be like your fellow vermin from the Times.
I'll do no such thing.
What is that?
I said I shall settle my own fights. I intruded upon you. You gave me fair warning.
I don't know.
What'll it be, sir? Who's bringing charges against who? What'll it be?
I said I'm to blame. I bring no charges.
Well, Professor?
No charges against this one. This other chap, though, this Blondell fellow, he's a cretin.
Well, I beg your pardon.
And an infernal pest. Off with him. Take him to the tower.
Right you are, Professor. Come along, Mr. Blondell.
How dare you? I summoned you to bring charges against him. Officer, do your duty.
Now, come along now. Move along now.
I've got a
chest.
Now, don't start
with
that
sassy
rock. Come back inside the house, Malone. I may have been hasty. Austin, bring us some brandy. Great character to send that Bobby off, Malone. Great character. But don't expect me to thank you. Yes, indeed. You show the kind of metal I don't often find in other men, let alone reporters. You also have a mean uppercut. How's the eye?
Blackened, I suppose.
So it is. I'd hardly be George Edward Challenger if I didn't take on the press now and again.
Huh? Well, I'd hate to think of my eye as your badge of honor, sir.
Oh, but it is. It is. You may be a journalist, young man, but you have manners. And character. That's why I shall grace you with a talk about my South American trip.
You will?
That is what you came for, is it not?
It is, but
I... Oh, fine. So, no comments until I'm finished.
Your brandy, sir.
What brandy? It's time we got going.
Oh, first let me get my notebook and pencil out.
No time for that. You've misunderstood. Put those infernal things away. We're going to the Zoological Hall. Dr. Emil Illingworth is giving a presentation. His topic, the record of the ages.
Is he an authority?
He's an idiot. But it will be to your advantage to attend. We have just enough time to get there. Come along. We'll talk on the way. 2 years ago, Malone, I went to the Amazon to verify the conclusions of Wallace and Bates. The Amazon is still largely unexplored. In the interior, the natives are cucumber Indians. And when I arrived at their camp, they implored me to give medical attention to one of their number. It turned out he was not an Indian, but a white man. He was in tatters, terribly emaciated, and died before I could do anything to help. Now, the man's knapsack lay beside him. And a sketchbook within it gave his name as one Maplewhite of Michigan. It is this sketchbook I hand you now. I ask you to examine his drawings and see how he has labeled them. Here's the first one.
Jimmy Culver on the mail boat. That's pretty mundane.
Keep looking.
Lunch with Fra Cristogiro at Rosario. Turtles and other eggs.
Don't stop.
Oh, this looks like crocodiles.
Alligators.
Nothing unusual here.
Now, turn to the next page.
A landscape.
And?
Oh, looks like a large plateau rising straight up.
Describe it. Go ahead, describe it.
Well, it appears isolated on all sides by steep cliffs. I mean, I'm no geologist, but it is curious.
Curious? Oh, curious indeed. And wonderful.
Look on the next page.
Good Lord. It's monstrous.
Yes, the head of a bird, the body of a lizard, and a tail with spikes at the end.
This is grotesque. It's enormous. As big as a building.
And look what stands beside it.
What? What is that? Oh, my God, it is. It's a man.
Yes. Oh, just in time, we're here. Now give it back, quickly. Inside the hall.
Yes. Thank you, Professor Wadley. Thank you for reading us your inspiring paper on Apis mellifera, a new order within social insect society. Yes. And now I would like to introduce our featured speaker, Dr. Emil Illingworth, speaking on the record of the ages. Oh, yes. Dr. Illingworth.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Meldrum, esteemed society members, ladies and gentlemen. The record of the ages is to be found in mammals that led to the emergence of man. We begin low down among the mollusks and feeble sea creatures.
Stop that.
As Wiseman holds, we then climb the evolutionary ladder rung by rung through reptiles and fishes till at last we come to a kangaroo rat, a creature which brought forth its young alive. This is the direct ancestor of all mammals and presumably, therefore, of everyone in this audience. With the possible exception of the man in the red tie in the third row, who seems bent on sharing the contents of his stomach with us this evening.
Yes.
But what captivates us most are the saurians, the dinosaurians, to be exact, that frightful breed of reptile that appears to us in the fossil record, but which was extinct before the appearance of mankind upon this planet. To be sure, extinct millions of years before the coming of man.
Moron! Would Professor Challenger please contain himself?
Evolution is not a spent force. It is at work here, even today.
But not within these walls!
Please, sir, you shall have your turn.
Thus, all species descend from their forebears, their progress along the continuum from the past to the present and into the future.
Must you be boring as well as ignorant?
Stop this disruption, sir. This is a respectable assembly.
Thank you, Dr. Meldrum.
Yes.
But when it comes to Challenger, you're wasting your breath. The man has no more manners than an ape hanging from the tree.
Would you accept, sir, a reasonable opinion?
I should like to hear you utter a reasonable opinion, sir.
Very well. The reasonable opinion is... you are an idiot!
Order, please. We will have order. Now, will Professor Illingworth yield to Professor Challenger?
Not before I'm finished.
Oh, you are finished, Illingworth. You just don't know it. Stand aside.
Professor, really?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I beg pardon. Ladies, gentlemen, and children. Well, that is how you are behaving. Just because Dr. Illingworth has never seen prehistoric animals, does that mean that they cannot exist?
Yes.
Ah! But they do exist, for I have seen them.
Liar!
Did someone call me a liar? I, a liar?
Liar!
Shall I come down among you and convince you otherwise?
Some decorum, please.
Hear me! Hear what I have to say.
Order!
Every visionary has met with skepticism.
Question!
After all, ignorance is the last refuge of fools.
Question, Professor.
Ah, there is a woman who seeks a cure for ignorance.
Your findings in the Amazon run completely counter to those of Drs. Wallace Bates and other established explorers. How do you account for this discrepancy?
Very simple. The Amazon is tens of thousands of square miles. What the others missed, I discovered.
And your method, Professor? Was it by careful examination of the facts or fabrication?
My dear lady, you seem to be confusing the Amazon River with the Thames. The Amazon, you see, is somewhat longer, and the country around it far more intriguing than the London drawing rooms you undoubtedly frequent.
I know the difference, Professor. And I am not your dear lady.
Oh.
Might I remind you that the claims about the Thames can be tested, where yours cannot. As good faith, Will you divulge the exact location of your so-called discovery?
I shall not. That information is proprietary.
And unpublishable, which makes it unscientific.
You raise the same stale argument as my chief critic, Professor Summerlee.
That is because I am Professor Summerlee.
Oh, my good God, man. You're a woman.
Does that change anything, Professor?
No, not at all.
I invite you, Professor Challenger, to prove your contention with proper evidence and not just sketchbooks of dubious authenticity.
Well said. And I accept that challenge and dare the Zoological Society to mount and finance such an expedition so that you all can verify my statements to your own skeptical satisfaction. What do you say to that, Meldrum?
Well, sponsoring an expedition is a delicate matter. Paperwork, grant, proposals, board meetings.
Damn the inertia, man. Science marches on.
Yes, well, I suppose, yes.
Oh, you're useless.
Professor Challenger! Professor Challenger!
Yes, what does my reporter friend want?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Edward Don Malone of the Daily Gazette. I shall ask my publisher, Sir George Beaumont, to underwrite your expedition.
Very good.
Only if I may participate and report on it.
And do what?
As I am sure Sir George of the Gazette would demand at least that much.
Yes, of course. My boy, you shall go. And your paper shall have the exclusive.
Everyone else would want it.
You'll eat those words in English, so help me.
Are you trying to ignore me, Challenger?
Not at all, Summerlee. You are welcome to confirm my discovery.
If they can be, Professor.
Are there any other volunteers?
Right here, Professor Challenger. Count on me.
And your name, sir?
Lord John Roxton. I've been up the Amazon, and I know the region. Thus, I have special qualifications for this investigation.
Lord John Roxton's reputation as a sportsman and traveler is world famous. He would make a welcome addition.
Thank you.
So be it.
Very good.
Ladies and gentlemen of the London Zoological Society, please recognize Lord John Roxton, Professor Summerlee, Edward Don Malone, and myself as the official expedition in search of the lost world.
Just a moment, please.
What is it, Dr. Erlingworth? Yes.
I should like to make a small proposal in the interest of credibility.
I should like to hear you're not a credibility, sir.
Only an objective expedition can confirm your findings. Therefore, I move that you should not accompany the others.
What are you trying to pull, man?
I further propose that you submit a detailed map of your so-called discovery.
You would buy me for my own expedition?
It is the Zoological Society's expedition, sir, with the Daily Gazette, and not yours.
This is an outrage, an insult. Why, this is a scandal. And the order...
Let's have quiet in the hall, please. We must have order now. Dr. Illingworth's position is well taken under the circumstances. Now, it is moved that Professor Challenger withdraw from the expedition. Furthermore, he shall prepare a map and present it in a sealed envelope to a neutral party, Lord John Roxton. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
How dare you! How dare you!
All those opposed, nay.
Quite a turnabout, eh, Malone? Listen, since we're to travel together, perhaps you might spare me a few moments to talk. There are one or two things I want to discuss with you. Would you join me?
Certainly.
Splendid. Meet me at my rooms at the Albany Hotel in half an hour.
Until then.
Mind the mess. Haven't quite unpacked from Uganda.
So I see.
Well, we've gone and done it, haven't we, fellow me lad? Yes, we have. Up to our necks in the tureen, what?
What?
Look here, Malone. Before we get down to discussing the Amazon, would you help me with a personal matter? You don't mind taking a risk now, do you?
What risk?
It's Teddy Ballinger. You've heard of him, of course.
Ballinger? No.
Why, young fellow, where have you lived? Sir Teddy Ballinger? He's a crack shot and a mean drunk.
Yes, but where do I come in?
Well, he's been on a bender since Tuesday, poor sot. Doctor says he needs food in him, but he's taken to his room just above us with a loaded revolver in his lap, and he swears he'll put six through anyone who dares come in.
Well, perhaps we could just pass the food under the door.
Yes, so I was thinking if we rush him, and if he's dozing, and if it's dark enough, and if there's a dud in the chamber...
I do believe you're serious.
Of course I am.
Well, I'm not sure.
So you won't help, eh?
Well, it's not that I won't. It's just, all right, come on, then. Talking won't make it any better.
Good. I say, Ballinger, are you in there? He's there.
Well, perhaps if we set up a diversion.
That's the thinking, fellow me lad. I'll tell you what. I'll fire back with my pistol and you rush in on him. Here we go, then. One, two, three.
My God, you shot him.
No. Look, he's just passed out. Look, he's breathing.
He's still holding his gun.
Well, then be a good lad and take it from him.
Not so fast, stranger.
Oh, take it easy, Teddy. We're friends.
Well, you may be, Roxton, but who's this bloke?
I'm Ned Malone.
Try to take a man's weapon, will you? That's a crime. Sentence of death. Now, don't move. I can't keep you in my sights if you move.
Say something, Roxton.
Care for a drink, Teddy?
Already had several. Been rather a naughty boy. Hold still.
I haven't moved.
Yes, you have. Stop swaying. I can't get a good aim.
You're the one who's swaying back and forth, you old reprobate. How about that drink?
I tell you what. I'll shoot this fellow first, and then we can go out for a drink.
How about we all go out for a drink and not shoot anybody?
Oh, don't think so. Ready? Aim.
Oh, you stupid twit! Give me that thing!
Well done, you've disarmed him.
Well, what's so funny?
All right, fellow me lad, you'll do.
I'll do what?
You'll do up the Amazon. Thanks, Teddy.
My pleasure, old chap.
What's going on here? Are you having at me?
Roxton here asked me to help see if you had your stuff, you know. Gave me a pistol and a handful of blanks, left the rest to me. How was I?
Oh, listen, you could headline on the Strand, Teddy. Come on, Malone.
Go on.
We have some packing to do.
Would someone please explain?
Now, you see, this South America business is mighty serious. If we're going to be traveling partners, I want someone I can depend on. Thanks a lot, Ballinger. I owe you one.
Right, lad. Lunch at the club when you get back.
Sir. Absolutely. Come on, Malone. Back to my apartment. It's important we understand each other, Malone. It'll be just the two of us on this thing. Can you imagine Summerlee in a close call?
Oh, quite possibly.
Well, I can't. By the way, you wouldn't be the Malone who used to play rugby for Ireland.
I would.
Well, I thought I remembered your face. Well, I saw you play against Richmond. As fine a player as they had the whole season. Can you shoot?
Passably.
Well, no matter. You'll have time to practice. What's your weapon?
Words.
Oh, yes. Well, may I suggest Bland's 577 Axit Express? Or perhaps a Gordon 470 with telescopic sight and double ejector?
Well...
On the other hand, perhaps my basic Winchester will do you.
Look, is that really necessary? This is a scientific quest, not a big game hunt.
Unless the professor's a madman or a liar, we're going to see some strange things before we get back. By the way, what do you know of Challenger?
I never met him till today.
Nor did I. But do you know what? I believe every single word he says. South America is a land I love. Grandest, most wonderful place on the planet. The rainforest is a whole other world. The more you know of that country land, the more you understand that anything is possible. So be off with you. Start packing. Pack everything you think you'll need, then unpack it, and do it again to make sure. Because once we sail, there's no turning back.
Hello, Malone!
McArdle.
A word, please, before you embark.
Yes, how can I ever thank you for sending me to Professor Challenger?
I thought that would be obvious, laddie, by sending back accounts that'll keep both of us from being fired.
Is Sir George complaining already?
No, and I intend to keep him from starting. But the only way to do that is for you to get me stories.
I've thought of that, sir. I'll set up regular telegraphic communications. Once we head into the interior, I'll send back dispatches with native bearers, which will then be relayed back to you.
Now remember, Malone, I want exotic places, wild beasts, high adventure. But most of all, bring me the lost world.
Let me have your attention, everybody. Dummerly, Roxton, Malone.
Yes,
gather round.
Here we go.
I have only a few words to say. The first is that I wish I were going with you.
Secondly,
here is the sealed envelope which Lord Roxton shall hold for safekeeping. The contents are the instructions mandated by the Zoological Society for the successful completion of this expedition.
What's to stop me from opening it now?
Your word of honor, Lord John, which you shall give me before I hand you the envelope.
You have it, sir.
Good. I do not want the contents revealed until you arrive at Manaus.
Don't you trust us?
I trust no one, Summerlee. I have too many jealous colleagues who covet my knowledge in the face of their own ignorance.
Well, personally, I shall miss your colorful company, Professor.
Mr. Malone, you are free to write about anything you see except your exact location. And Professor Summerlee, if you are still capable of improvement, which I doubt, you shall return to London all the wiser for what you are about to experience.
All ashore, it's going ashore! All ashore, it's going ashore!
excuse me, young lady.
Pardon me, sir. Ned? Oh, Ned, there you are.
Gladys, I've been waiting for you all morning.
I'm afraid I was detained, Ned, but here you are.
And here you are.
Aren't you going to introduce me to this lovely young lady, Malone?
Oh, yes, of course. Miss Gladys Hungerton, may I present Mr. McArdle, my editor on the Daily Gazette.
How do you do, Mr. McArdle?
Much better for having met the woman that Ned is always talking about.
He is?
Oh, but only in the most flattering way.
Oh.
And now, it's my turn to leave. I look forward to hearing from you, Malone, with adventure and frequency. Good day, Miss Hungerton.
Mr. McArdle?
Come along now, last call. All ashore that's going ashore. Last call, all ashore that's going ashore.
Quickly, quickly, Gladys. We don't have much time. After all these months of seeing each other, I think it's time that
Why
should...
Why do I get the feeling that you are going to propose?
Well...
Oh, I wish you wouldn't. Things are much nicer as they are.
Oh, really?
Did you think you could catch me unawares?
Well, since when has anything ever caught you unawares? No, what I'm trying to say
Our
is that...
Our friendship is so pleasant. What a pity to spoil it with an engagement, especially when you're going away for who knows how long.
Yes, but I should think that you would count the days till I return. You know, keep the candle burning or some other sign of...
Everything. It was all so beautiful until you started to talk proposal. Why can't you control yourself?
Well, I've been controlling myself damn well these past 6 months for a man who's in love.
Oh, please don't be. You see, I'm not.
Gladys, I mean, you truly are extraordinary.
Thank you, Ned. You see, the man I love must be bold, an adventurer. Then I wouldn't love just the man, but the glories he represented. I want a soldier, an explorer. I want to inspire noble deeds, not just romantic words.
So it's an explorer you want, is it?
Look at that young Frenchman who went up in a balloon. It was a blowing gale of a wind, but because he said he'd go, he went. The wind blew him 1,500 miles into the middle of Russia. That's the kind of man I want.
Did he ever come back, Gladys?
Oh, dear Ned, of course he didn't, but that's not the point.
Well, Gladys, I intend to write great stories on this expedition, and I intend to return.
Oh, yes. Well, then I might consider you a worthy suitor.
Oh, why, thank you, Gladys. I'm sure that commitment will give me all the strength I need.
I said might. When you have won your place in the world, we shall talk it over again. But for now, goodbye, Ned.
Goodbye, Gladys. Dateline, the Amazon. Dear Mr. McArdle, our Atlantic crossing was uneventful, but Roxton playfully assures me that this will soon change. First, however, I wanted
to write to you of our progress. We arrived and put ashore at Campo Grande at the mouth of the Amazon. After a night's rest, we boarded the Esmeralda, which took us upriver to Manaus. This is our embarkation point, a village halfway up the Amazon. At least they say it's halfway, for no one truly knows how long the Amazon is. Oh, this is going to sell a lot of papers. The golden sun glistens on the dark, shimmering waters. I can see native women washing their laundry and bathing themselves, the rays of sun sparkling on their bare breasts. Good God, the lad's gone balmy. I think we can skip the bare-breasted women. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here we are. Manaus will be the last outpost of civilization. I'm arranging telegraphic communication. The experienced Roxton has engaged a local guide named Gomez. Fortunately, Gomez speaks excellent English. Finally, tomorrow morning, on the veranda of the Fazenda Santa Ignacia, we shall open the sealed envelope on which the success of our expedition rests.
Instructions to Lord John Roxton and party to be opened at Manaus July 15th at 12 o'clock noon, and not a moment earlier.
But we have 3 more minutes.
What can it possibly matter whether we open it now or in 3 minutes? It's all part and parcel of the quackery and nonsense for which, I regret to say, Professor Challenger is notorious.
Oh, come, Summerlee, we must play the game according to rules.
Unless there's something pretty definite in this envelope, we've been played for fools and I'm on the next boat home.
Oh, surely it's time, Lord John.
Time it is. Now let's have a look at this secret missive. Why? It's blank.
What? Look in the envelope again.
What more proof do you want? The man's a complete fake.
Invisible ink. It must have been invisible ink.
No, I don't think so. Hold it up to the sun. No. No, it's blank.
Well, now what are we supposed to do?
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm telegraphing the Zoological Society this moment.
Don't and then bother.
Good God.
Well.
May I come in?
Challenger.
Well, I'll be.
Yes. Sorry to disappoint you, Summerlee. Oh, what's this? Bananas. My favorite.
I see you're healthy in body, if not in mind.
Professor, we agreed that you were not to come. Why are you here?
To see how well you managed in my absence.
But we couldn't have gone any further without instructions.
Just my point. Even the most explicit instructions would not have been enough. And that is why I am here to carry on.
But this is against your own promise.
A promise coerced me by academic imbeciles.
Professor, we need a destination. Is there a map we're to follow?
There is indeed, Roxton. And it's safely stored in my head. Even the most elaborate charts would pale in comparison with my own intelligence.
Not to mention your duplicity.
Professor Summerlee, you have no idea what a pleasure it will be to argue with you face to face.
The pleasure is mine.
Good. Now to work. We gather at the riverbank at dawn tomorrow morning. We have the dry season on our side, but not the daylight. Well, until tomorrow.
Dateline, the Amazon. This is my last transmission from Manaus. We have loaded all the provisions in our canoes, and we leave within the hour. The adventure begins.
Well, Professor Summerlee, I wouldn't have taken an academic such as yourself for an athlete.
Are you surprised that I can paddle a canoe?
Well, you've been doing it for some time and you don't seem winded.
There are many things a woman can do without getting winded, Lord John. Paddling a canoe is one of the minor ones.
Well, I didn't mean to be forward. It's just that the expedition will seem longer if we don't make some sort of conversation. With Professor Malone and Gomez in the other canoe, and we're the only two in this one who can speak English, I thought we might get better acquainted.
I do apologize, Lord John. You're quite right. I should not forget my manners even here in the jungle. Huh. Look at Malone, trying to make conversation with Challenger. I wonder what they're saying.
Professor, may I inquire? You and Professor Summerlee hate each other. Why did you encourage her to come along on this trip?
The answer to the first is obvious. She's a wrong-headed scientist who has questioned my theories in the press. Her theories run counter to mine and are therefore counter to the truth.
Well, does he change anything that she's a woman?
Certainly not, as if science cares about gender.
Yes, but why did you...
Excuse me, Professor Challenger.
What is it, Signor Gomez?
There are rapids a mile down the river.
I know, Gomez. These are the very rapids where I lost my specimens last time.
We must portage around them.
Yes, and spend 2 days hacking our way through the vegetation and probably die of snake bite.
But, Professor...
I know. It has to be done.
What's that sound? Is that drums?
Yes.
Gomez, what is it?
We are not alone.
I say, do you hear the drums?
What do you make of them?
I've heard them before, many times. War drums.
War drums?
Yes, sir. War drums. Wild Indians. They watch us.
How can they watch us? I can't see them.
But they can see you. They have their own voice.
They talk, the drum talk to each other. We will kill you if we can. We will kill you if we can. It is not safe on land, Senor Malone. Not until we are past the rapids.
What was that?
They are shooting at us.
They're under attack.
Row. Row faster.
Don't look back.
Oh, that was a close one.
Switch sides. Weave. Make a harder target.
Stay in the middle.
Put your backs into it.
Let me have a go at it.
Good work, Rockstar.
I can't even see the fuckers. What am I shooting at?
We're pulling away. We're pulling away.
Oh, what's that I hear?
All right, everyone. There's no stopping now. Use your oars. Oh. Push away from the rocks. Watch out for the trees.
Oh. Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go. Oh. Hold on!
Find the boulders!
Paddle with the current!
Watch out for that tree!
It's a whirlpool!
Row from the other side.
I am!
Top it out!
Go with the current!
I am!
Let it take you!
Oh, look, it's working!
Look out ahead!
Below the surface.
We hit something.
Yes, it's just a glancing blow.
Head for there! Do it!
Stay free! Right. Port side!
Get them, push it off!
There you go!
Go come with on. The current!
We're going to capsize!
Watch out for the rocks!
We're not going!
This is wonderful! This is sensational. Finally, that brave lad's earning his salary.
That's what I've been telling you, Sir George.
What does he say there?
I'll read it to you. Surprisingly, we survived the rapids, and we've camped for the night about 500 yards downstream. Gomez, our guide, assures us that the natives will not follow us because of something he calls Kurupuri. Cobby boy!
Here I am, sir.
Here, take this to typeset and bring me the proofs the moment they're ready.
Right away, sir. Is this the latest from Ned Malone?
Here now. Are you interested, my boy?
Jeepers, said George. Me and my mates, we think it's the best make-believe we ever read.
Oh, all right, boy. Off with you.
Sir, I'm publishing fiction now.
No, not fiction, Sir George. Just truth. So far ahead of our time that only a true visionary such as yourself can comprehend it.
Let's make sure it sells newspapers.
Quick, bring the canoes out of the water. Hide them under these bushes.
Right ahead. Accelerating. Shoot the rapids. Keep the blood flowing.
Tie the line over here. The current is weak. Come, the glade. It won't drift off.
Come on. Now, make our way by foot.
Yes, it's just as I remembered it. It won't be long before we reach our destination.
And that would be?
Mine to reveal.
When?
When the time comes.
We have left the river at the point where Professor Challenger says that the real journey begins. This glade, undistinguished except to his keen memory, is where he says he encountered the phenomenon that inspired his discovery.
Let's keep moving. No time to lose.
I must say, I like your attitude, Challenger. I never figured you for an adventurer.
But that's where you're wrong, Roxton. Science is the greatest adventure of them all.
There are those damn drums again.
Don't take it personally, Malone. It's territorial.
What?
The drums mark their territory. Think of it as dogs barking from the safety of a backyard.
A dog with poison-tipped arrows, Senor Roxton.
Yes, certainly the Marana and even the Amawaka use poison to fell their prey. But not if they intend to consume it.
You mean they're cannibals?
Of course they are.
Oh, my God. Oh. You misunderstand cannibalism, Senor Malone. Tribes do not hunt each other for food. There is plenty of game in the jungle to feed them. They hunt men to please. Kurupuri.
Kurupuri?
The spirit of the jungle. It's the name of a kind of devil.
Is it a religion or superstition? What?
It's a bit of both. There's usually some truth to such pagan beliefs.
Second time today, I agree with you, Summerlee. Oh. The human animal usually worships a power it cannot understand.
No one has seen the Kurupuri. Has ever lived to tell about it.
If that's the case, how do you know it exists?
How do you know it doesn't?
Here's the little creek I've been looking for. It leads to the great Amazon, but its waters are 10 degrees hotter than the river. I'll show you.
Bring me the aneroid thermometer, Summerlee.
The mercury is more accurate.
Don't tell me my business. I clearly specified aneroid.
May I ask, sir, in what capacity you take it upon yourself to issue these orders?
As leader of this expedition.
I am compelled to inform you, sir, that I do not recognize you in that capacity.
Perhaps then you would care to define my exact position?
I will, sir. You are a man whose veracity is on trial. You walk, sir, with your judges.
Dear me, in that case, you will, of course, go on your way collecting evidence. I shall follow you at my leisure.
I beg your pardon?
If I am not the leader, you cannot expect me to lead.
Oh.
Well, go on. What are you waiting for?
Oh,
now,
please.
Be quiet, both of you. If this bickering continues, this expedition will not. We're all adults. Isn't there some way of reconciling?
No.
Well, then, I suppose Dr. Illingworth was right.
Illingworth, what about him?
Nothing. I was merely postulating that the celebrated Dr. Illingworth, whose presentation at the Zoological Society led to this...
Emil Illingworth wouldn't know a fossil if he stumbled on one, which, as a matter of fact, is exactly how he discovered Lycanthus deciduous.
Oh, well, I thought his credentials were well established.
He's an idiot.
He's a blithering idiot.
Really?
You were at the lecture, man. It was a travesty, heaped upon a charade.
I agree. Illingworth wouldn't know a wild pig from a long pig.
As a matter of fact, he is one.
Which one?
Either. Oh, all right, Summerlee. Do as you please. You use your newfangled mercury thermometer, and I'll stick to my aneroid.
Illingworth, indeed. You know, stay out of these things from now on, Roxton, and leave science to the scientists.
Good work, Roxton. Yes, thank heaven for small favors. As long as we can use Illingworth as a tiebreaker, we may all survive this adventure.
We're now going on 10 days afoot. The character of the land has changed repeatedly. We emerge from the trees to a wilderness of elephant grass so thick that we penetrated only by cutting away with machetes. The next day, we came into an open plain dotted with clumps of tree ferns. Surprisingly, little animal life present with the exception of one or two small snakes. This is putting me to sleep. What does he think we're running, a travel magazine? Please! One or two small snakes. Cubby boy!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Take this down to the composing room. Have him use it on Malone's story. Small snakes. Here! That'll wake them up in the provinces.
Extra, extra, huge pythons attack expedition. Jungle overrun with vermin. Intrepid reporter almost devoured. Extra, extra, read all about it.
Professor, can you explain why the jungle doesn't grow in what is obviously a rainforest?
Aren't you burning to hazard a guess, my dear Summerlee?
I shan't guess. I shall postulate. And the word burning is correct. The soil is abnormally warm, too warm to support jungle vegetation.
Warm? Wouldn't that suggest current volcanic activity?
It most assuredly would. In fact, I suspect this whole region is a slumbering pit.
Did you see that, Summerlee?
What?
Did you see it in the distance?
I saw something.
Where? Where?
Near those rocks. A huge bird flapped up, swooped low enough to skim something off the ground, and disappeared into the tree ferns.
What the devil was it?
To the best of my belief, it was a pterodactyl.
A fiddlestick that was a stork, if I ever saw one.
Good God, woman, what would a stork be doing here?
What would a pterodactyl be doing here? Anyway, it's gone.
Lord John, you were looking through your binoculars. Did you see it?
Not well, but I'll risk my reputation that it wasn't any bird I've ever seen.
Of course, Professor Summerlee will understand that when I speak of pterodactyl, I mean a stork. Except that this stork has no feathers. It has a leathery skin, membranous wings, and teeth in its jaws.
Oh, really?
Come on, stop bickering. Let's get moving. We don't want to let it get away. Come on.
Save your excitement, Roxton. There's plenty more where that came from. In fact, exactly where that came from.
Within 100 yards, we had traveled to the top of a small hillock, and there, before us in the distance, stretched the ominous red plateau that I had first seen in Maple White's sketchbook.
Do you see it? Take a good look at it. Have you ever encountered anything so amazing?
My God,
Never in all my travels.
It's completely flat on top, jutting 600 feet straight up out of the ground.
Wonder is imposing. A true phenomenon of nature.
That is my lost world!
Oh. How did it? I mean, how could it?
It's probably the result of some monumental explosion so immense that it pushed an entire ecosystem straight up. Look at those sheer walls. Nothing can get up. And more importantly, nothing can get down.
Professor Challenger's fabled Amazon Plateau greets us through dwindling daylight, daring us to approach. It rises defiantly like the devil's dinner table. Its sheer walls defy us to ascend. Ha! That's more like it. Daring, defiant. Beside the formation stands one lone pinnacle like a church steeple, detached from the plateau, a silent sentry watching over unimaginable secrets. Our task now is to find the way up.
Extra! Extra! Challenger Expedition finds lost world! Exploration to follow! Extra! Extra!
All right, we should make our camp here. Gomez, have the porters make a circle and collect firewood.
Si, senor. I will start the tent and build the fire.
Yeah, there's a good fellow. Malone, if you crane your neck anymore, you'll fall over backwards.
Yes, but that rock face is immense. How do we ascend? I mean, the facade, it shoots straight up. It leans outward. It's impossible to scale.
Is it like this all the way around?
I don't know. Last time I circled to the east a quarter of the way around and found nothing. Then the rains and lack of provisions forced me to quit.
But there must be a way up. How did Mabel White do it?
Ah, that, Summerlee, is the mystery we shall solve.
Professor, look at this. Are you sure that you were the first man to this location?
Why are you asking?
Because if I didn't know better, I'd say we'd come upon somebody's camp. Look at this rubbish.
Yes.
There's meat tins, a brandy bottle, old clothing.
Yes. It has all the appearance of an abandoned base camp.
What's this? An old newspaper?
A newspaper?
Yes, can't read the date on it, but I can make out some of the letters. C-H-I-C.
It's the Chicago American.
Yes, it is.
It must be Maplewhite's.
This must have been his camp.
I say, look here. Look at this. Look at this tree. Some sort of a sign chiseled in the bark.
You are right. It is a sign. It's pointing. Over there.
Yes, to the west.
To that bamboo thicket.
Longston, proceed with caution. Those plants must be 20 feet tall. Anything could be hiding in them. Well, Summerlee, how does this match my story so far?
Well, we've found your plateau, I'll grant you that. But as far as prehistoric beasts dwelling on top of it, well, I'll let my eyes see for themselves. Good God!
Don't anyone move.
It's a human skull.
Oh, God, you're right. It's hideous. The bamboo is growing straight through the side of his head.
Oh.
The rest of the skeleton is over here. Flesh has been stripped from the bone.
Oh.
Poor devil. Dreadful way to die. Every inch of his body must have been perforated by the bamboo.
And his own weight carried him slowly down to the ground.
Oh.
What?
All the flesh.
Eaten by insects, maggots, birds.
The jungle reclaims its own.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, it would seem that we are staring at the earthly remains of James Culver.
How do you know that?
This cigarette case on the ground, tarnished but intact, bears his name.
There can't be much doubt about how he met his death.
He fell.
Or was pushed.
What are you saying, Roxton?
Basic police work. If he simply fell, he would have landed close to the foot of the cliff. But to be impaled this far out, he must have been thrown, with great force, over the edge.
Kurapuri.
Oh, nonsense. The only spirit in this jungle is the spirit of adventure.
Look! Look over there! At the base of the cliff, there's a small cave.
Do you think it might lead all the way up to the top?
It may have once, but now it's completely blocked.
If this is how Maplewhite and James Culver got up 2 years ago, it's sealed to us. Probably the result of earthquakes.
There must be another way up.
Damn it. I didn't come this far to be thwarted. Let's make camp. Tomorrow, our luck will change.
Dateline, Maple Whiteland. This is the name that we have christened the Lost World, in honor of the man who led us here, even in death.
We're presently encamped at the base of the plateau. We shall try to find a route up. Lord Roxton has shot a pig.
Bring it here, Lord Roxton. I'll cut it up.
No, I shot it. I'll gut it.
If you don't mind, I'll find something else to watch.
Lady Doctor does not care for guts. Eh?
In a word, no, Gomez. Let me know if there's anything else I can do for you.
It will not take long. Then we eat.
Professor Summerlee?
Yes, Mr. Malone.
How are you feeling after your encounter with Mr. Culver?
I'll manage. It just took me by surprise, Mr. Malone.
Ned, please.
Why do you insist on my calling you Ned?
So that I might call you Elizabeth.
All right. Ned.
Thank you, Elizabeth. As I was saying... My God, what on earth is that?
What?
It's Kulabuni! It's Kulabuni!
Get the gun, Moxton!
Don't shoot! Stop now!
Quick, Slot, get him inside the court order! Let's see it!
Oh, it's incredible!
Those red eyes.
Our friends decided to pay us a visit.
It's gone.
It got away.
Yes, what a ghastly beast.
Did you see what it was, Summerlee?
I've never seen anything like it.
Nor has any living man or woman.
What is it?
It would appear that I... Oh, I owe you an apology, sir.
Your apology is accepted on one condition and one condition only.
And it is?
And we forget our past differences and get on with more important business.
Agreed.
Would somebody tell me what it is?
Would you care to do the honors, Summerlee?
It's a pterodactyl.
Extra, extra, Challenger Expedition discovers Well, it's a big flying dinosaur. Extra, extra.
We spent the next 3 days circling the plateau, looking for a way up, enduring fetid marshes, the breeding ground of the deadly Heracaca snake. Again and again, these creatures slithered toward us. Only Roxton's quick pistol kept us from certain tragedy.
See here, Challenger, this is pointless. I didn't come here to hunt snakes. We spent the better part of a week looking for an ascent and have found nothing.
Senor Challenger, there may be a way up and also across.
The pinnacle again, Gomez?
See, take Lord John's binoculars.
Here you are.
All right, yes, I'm looking.
At the very top of the pinnacle, closer to the edge of the plateau, there is a tree. Do you see it?
Yes.
We climb the pinnacle, cut the tree,
and walk across.
Yeah. See?
Why, of course. You're a good man, Gomez.
Good Gomez.
Sharp eyes and yes. A crafty mind. Yes. Come, we have our work cut out for us.
Challenger led the assault on the pinnacle. Summerlee proved to be extraordinarily fit. Roxton was certainly experienced, and Gomez never complained. Finally, we reached the top, 600 feet above the jungle floor.
This way, my young friend. Never look back, or down for that matter, but always ahead.
Everybody stand back! Stand back! Timber!
It's down. It's a perfect bridge.
Well done, Gomez.
Thank you, senor.
Would you like to be the first one to cross it?
Me? No.
Then I claim the honor. A fitting subject, no doubt, for some future historical painting.
Sorry, Challenger, but I can't allow it.
What?
When it's a matter of science, I follow your lead, but now you must follow mine.
Yours?
We all have our professions, and mine is soldiering. Who's to say there's not a tribe of savages on the other side waiting to slaughter us?
Oh, John, you've hauled up rifles and provisions. Surely you can sit here and pick off any threat that might wait to shake my hand when I step off that bridge.
As a matter of safety, sir.
As a matter of safety, we could have fallen off this cliff onto the bamboo poles 20 times. At long last, sir, will you stand aside and allow me to continue my expedition?
I shall not.
Oh! Oh, very well. Since you insist.
Roxton crossed with ease and assurance. Then Challenger, and then Summerlee was the third to cross, and then I. We all crossed, except Gomez. And we stood congratulating ourselves, when suddenly...
Professor! The bridge is falling.
What? What happened?
Gomez! What happened?
Lord Roxton!
What is it, man?
Lord John Rockstar!
Well, here I am. What have you done?
Yes, there you are, you English dog. And there you will remain.
What's all this about?
I have waited and waited, and now has come my chance. Your precious bridge is gone. You found it hard to get up. You will find it harder to get down.
Why have you done this?
You cursed fools. You are trapped, every one of you, especially Lord Rockstar.
See here, Lord John. What do you know of this?
I haven't the foggiest idea.
You lie, Rockstar. As you all start today, think of Lopez.
Lopez? Who's Lopez?
Do you hold man's life so cheap that you forgot you took it? Lopez, you shot him 5 years ago on the Putumayo River. I am his brother. And now the Lord has given me the way of avenging him.
So you'll exact your vengeance on innocent others?
Their lives are a small price to pay for my brothers.
You are even less of a man than your brother, and your brother was nothing.
At least I live to see you die.
Damn you, Gomez! We shall find a way down, and we shall spend the rest of our lives hunting you. Your brother was a thief and caused the death of 2 other guides.
It makes no difference now. Your death is a brother's death avenged. Adios!
He's climbing down. He's taking the rope with him.
There are no trees anywhere near here. We're trapped.
Hand me my rifle.
What are you going to do?
Roxton, you can't.
I have.
You killed him.
In case you didn't realize it, he has considerably lessened our chances of getting out alive.
And so you appointed yourself his judge, jury, and executioner?
In this godforsaken country, yes.
Move away from the edge. It's dangerous. We will sort this out later. We have a lost world to explore.
In this uncharted world, who was to say that Roxton's deed was unwarranted? Clearly, survival was more important than justice. At least it seemed so now. Nevertheless, it put a pall over us as we took our first steps into this strange domain. We had headed inland about 1/4 mile when...
Ned, don't move. Whatever you do, don't move.
What is it?
I'm studying something.
On the back of my neck? What is it?
An enormous blood tick, at least 1 inch long.
Don't study it! Get it off!
Oh, you've crushed it.
Damn right.
I didn't even get a chance to classify it.
Classify it dead.
Come now, Malone. The inconvenience of being bitten cannot weigh against the glorious privilege of having your name inscribed on the rolls of zoology.
Yeah, a blood tick named Ned.
Ixtaris Maloney.
In its way, that blood tick is as beautiful a work of nature as the peacock.
Glad you feel that way, Challenger, for another one just crawled up your pant leg.
What? Hold it! Get it off! Get it off! Where did it go?
Challenger! Challenger, don't move. Be still.
Why? What is it?
You've fallen on what looks like a footprint.
So I have. Oh, and I've damaged it.
No matter. Here's another one over here.
Yes.
5 yards apart. What kind of steps must this beast take?
Some kind of elephant?
Twice as large as any elephant I've ever seen.
These tracks measure 1/2 yard across.
And they're fresh. Water's just filling the impression. Whatever made them hasn't gone far.
My friends, unless my scholarship suddenly fails me, we are looking at the recently made tracks of a brontosaurus. Very recent.
And very close, too.
What do we do now, Professor? I'm open to suggestions.
I suggest we run. Run.
Run, run, run! Extra! Extra! Scientists attacked by monsters! Lives in danger! Extra! Extra! Read all about it! Explorers in daring escape! The big story! Read all about it! Extra!
the end of Act One. We'll see you in a few minutes.